this Lord's Day evening with your Bibles, wanting to study so that we can build up our faith. Always enjoyed Sunday evening services as we're about to begin the week, the worst of the week, to take this time to study the Word of God. And we recognize we'll have challenges through the week, and we want to make sure that our faith is built up so we can meet those challenges. If you take your Bible this evening and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Malachi, the last minor prophet. If you're not sure where Malachi is, find Matthew and turn left, and you'll find Malachi. And I want to look with you at chapter 1, and I want to begin reading with you at verse 6. Malachi chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, said the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. At this time, you'll find that in this dispensation, that the leaders at this particular time had begun to fail God, and the people in particular had begun to fail to worship God as they ought. They were instructed in that day that when they brought a sacrifice, they were to bring it and they were to give the best they had. If you take your Bible and look in the book of Leviticus and the first chapter, you'll find that it was talked about when you brought a sacrifice, the kind of sacrifice you were to bring. And notice God made a specified request. In the book of Leviticus and the first chapter, if an individual brought his offering, it says in verse 3, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. The first thing I recognize, it was to be that which was a male, and it was to be without blemish. Then take note, the scripture says, he shall offer it of his own free will. Notice he is saying this is something the individual decides to do. So here is an individual bringing a burnt sacrifice, and God specified what kind he was to bring. And you'll find that when he talks about the sin offering, God specified what kind of sacrifice was to be made. But now then, if you look in the book of Malachi, then that dispensation, when they brought their sacrifice, when they were to worship God, notice what they were bringing. They were bringing the blind, it says in verse 8. They were bringing that which was blemished. They were not bringing the best of their flock as a sacrifice, but they were looking for something that would not cost them much of anything. They were looking for the runt of the litter. They were looking for that in the herd which might have had some kind of a handicap. And they were bringing that and saying, here, God, we're going to offer this up to you. And God says, that's not a sacrifice. He said, you're bringing that which is lame and sick. And in verse 8, God said, is it not evil? So God charges the people of that day. And God says, you're not really making a sacrifice. You're not bringing the best of what you have and offering it unto me out of love. You're not doing what I specified for you to do if you want me to accept your sacrifice. But now then, if you look at your Bible in the book of Malachi, look at the attitude of the people. When God asked, where is my reverence? Where is my honor in verse 6? And he says, you have despised my name. They say, well, in what way? They say, we don't see it, God. Are we not bringing something to you? In the mind of the people, the attitude of the people of that day was that something was better than nothing. They thought God should just be happy that they were giving him anything. that the God of heaven should just accept their lip service, that they took time, they found an animal, and they brought it to God. It may not have been the best they had, but God should just be happy that they paid him some homage. And if you take your Bible in the book of Malachi, God said, would you do that to your governor? Would you take and look out amongst your herd, and if you were going to take him a gift and find the lame or find the sick or find the one that is blemished and take that and give it to him? He said, would he be pleased with you? And here is the God of heaven saying, would that individual accept you favorably? And notice, my friend, here were people that ignored God's instructions. They thought that their form of worship was better than no worship. And notice, they did not see that God was not pleased. Then God said, I am not pleased. And they said, we don't understand why. They did not recognize that they were taking away from God's holiness and God's reverence when they did not worship according to the pattern. God had given a pattern. God had specified the way to worship. God had proclaimed the way they were to bring the animal. God proclaimed the way they were to kill the animal and what type of animal. And notice, they changed just a little bit. And they weren't bringing what God said. And God said, I'm not going to accept it. But now notice a second thing. Notice that they brought the animal, and notice they did not argue that God deserved a sacrifice. They were willing to give a form of worship, just not as God had directed, but as they desired. You know, you'll find a lot of people that will claim God deserves to be worshipped. They will pronounce God is holy and God is reverent and God is almighty. They will say that God deserves to be paid a sacrifice from life. But they don't want to follow God's instruction, God's pattern for worship. They want to change certain things. They want to do something the way they desire instead of the way God has commanded. They assume something is better than nothing. And you'll find that was going on in Malachi's day. They were giving the sick, they were giving the blind, they were giving the lame. And I want you to understand, God said, I won't accept it. Though the people thought God should be grateful that we worship him at all, God's reply is different. Look at what God said. In your Bible, notice if you will, in verse 9 and 10. Verse 10. God said, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? You know what God is saying to the people? I would rather the temple doors be closed and you not bring an animal than to bring that which I've told you I would not accept. God said, your worship is vain. He says in verse 10, you kindle the fire on my altar and you do so and it's empty. It doesn't have any value. I do not accept it. Have you ever thought about here is the God of heaven? And the God of heaven says, I would that you would close the doors, shut the doors to my temple. I would that you would not come with the wrong attitude, that you would come with the wrong sacrifice. I would that you would come with the right attitude and the right sacrifice. But I want you to understand one thing. If you come with the wrong attitude and the wrong sacrifice, he says, I will not accept it. In fact, he says, I will. Look at that in verse 10. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Now notice, God says it's offensive what you do. When you bring that which is not worthy before me, when you don't follow my specifications for worship, when you do not listen to my word and heed my voice, then you rob me of my honor, you rob me of my reverence, you do that which I've told you not to do, and God says it would be better for you to shut the doors instead of coming in thinking you're worshiping me when in reality your worship is vain. I will not accept it. I find no pleasure in it. And I love that statement. He said, is there any among you to shut the doors? You know what God was wanting? God was wanting the hearts of the people. Sometimes we talk about in the old covenant, we say that God wanted more of the physical, and the new covenant, He wants the heart. God has always wanted the heart of man. And you know one thing you'll find is what draws you near to your heart, what it is that's near to your heart, is what you're willing to sacrifice for something else. And God wanted these people to show their love for Him. They wanted to show that God was near to their heart, not their treasures, not their herd, not their things that they had, but they'd be willing to make a sacrifice. And notice that God wasn't looking for them to be comfortable. God was looking for them to be holy. Now, to show that's not just a principle in the Old Testament, look, if you will, in the Revelation letter and the third chapter. When you come to the Revelation letter and the third chapter, find with me a church that Jesus talked to. And when Jesus talked to this church, notice that He said He had some things against them. And He's talking in verse 14 to the Laodiceans. Now, Laodicea was about 7-8 miles from their water source, and they had to have water pumped in. And they had aqueducts, and by the time the water got to the city and they drank of that water, it was lukewarm and it was nasty. But notice what He said, you're just like your water source. Look at verse 15. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, and I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now this night, tonight, if I was to ask you, what sin do you think it is that would make God sick? Someone might say, preacher, I believe murder would make God sick. God hates it. Someone might say, preacher, I believe adultery would make God sick. God hates it. But I want you to look in Revelation 3, the sin He said will cause Him to vomit is lukewarmness. He said, it makes me sick to see a complacent group of my people. And He says in verse 17, you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and do not know you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined into fire, that you may be rich. And then He says that you have white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, watch it. Be zealous and repent. You know what God's telling the church at Laodicea? I will not accept lukewarm religion. I will not accept a lukewarm worship. I will not accept lukewarm, comfortable Christianity. He said it in the old dispensation. He has said it in the new dispensation. Now then, what I want to do is take that, make application to our life and the lessons yours. The first thing I think we need to learn tonight is that if we come before God, whatever we do in the name of God, in the name of religion, we need to have a good understanding of why we do it. And whatever we do, we need to recognize we're coming before the throne of God, and therefore God has every right to tell us how to worship Him. We don't have the right to tell God, this is how we're going to do it, and you accept it. How dare any man shake his fist in defiance to God? God has all authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18 that God had given Him authority. Christ has all authority. He's the head of the church. He has the right, He has the authority to tell you and to tell me how we're to worship Him. And tonight there are a lot of people that they'll say God deserves reverence, God deserves worship. But I want to tell you what they do. They want to worship Him the way they want instead of how He has specified. Have you ever thought, my friend, how many places tonight have abandoned the pattern? They've abandoned the Word. They've abandoned what God has declared. Sometimes we get in our mind, we know better than God. Now, you just take for an example. Let's just say Brother Frank was going to have a birthday party. And we said, you know, let's go. And Brother Frank said, you know, Mike, I like orange balloons. I know that's not true because he wanted a crimson one, but I had to say that anyway. And let's just say he said he wanted orange balloons all over. And we got home and he said, I want a big cake and I want it to have a T on it. I know that definitely wouldn't be true. He'd want an A in cursive. But let's just say he got home and everything was pink or red. Well, he might like that, but I'm not using that. I'm messing up my point. Purple. Do you think he would be appreciative? He went out of his way to say what he wanted. Now, he might appreciate the fact we tried, but he wouldn't appreciate the fact we ignored what he requested. You ever notice God, who has all authority, has said, here's how I want you to worship me. It's more than a request. It's more than an effort. It's a pattern he's left. Everything we do, we ought to do to please him. If he's our master, if he's our father, if he's the one that we say is the Lord of hosts, we do things to his honor and glory. We do things as he's directed us. Because this is a lot more serious than a party. This has to do with coming before the throne of a holy God. But the problem with a lot of people is they just assume something is better than nothing. That God should just be happy. I give him an hour of my week, maybe 2 hours of my week. God should be happy that I'm not like all these other people in Sheffield that didn't come out tonight. At least I came out tonight. And we get in our mind that God should just be happy with what we're willing to give him. I want to tell you something. God deserves our best. God does not deserve our crumbs. Some places they actually would say, that's right, preacher. But I want to bring that up another thought. Ever thought that God will not accept anything that we do that doesn't come from God? Sometimes I fear we assume we're zealous. We are like that in Luke 8 where it talks about the seed that fell on the different soils, and it said that some that the devil came and took away quickly. Some sprang up quickly, but because it had no root died. Others were choked out by the cares of the world. And then the seed that fell on good soil. We just assume we're good soil. Don't assume that. Don't just assume we're good soul. We need to look at our hearts and we need to examine ourselves and we need to ask, are we giving to God as we should? Are we sacrificial in our life? You ever thought about when we give back to God? Do we give God off the top or do we give God what's left? I never forget a lady one time I was talking to, and her husband were going through some financial problems. And her husband, she went in to him and said, you know, honey, maybe we need to cut back on what we give to God. He said, we're going to cut other places first. You know what he said? God is first. I'll make a sacrifice to God. Sometimes we cut God and we don't even think. And sometimes what happens is we come to God and we don't come from the heart when we sing. Oh, we don't have the instrument. We say, here, we sing. I want to know, is it coming from the heart? I know when I sing that dogs bark and people run. Except God. Because he's looking at my heart. Isn't that wonderful? I got to say something, Eastside. We've got a lot of folks here that need to probably sing out a little bit more. Now, I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm saying that because we got something we need to be doing. That's praising our God. And he knows, we know he wants us to sing. He said it in Colossians 3. He said it in Ephesians 5. He wants our heart. You ever notice when you're happy, you don't mind singing? And of all people who should have something to be happy about, it's God. One last thing. I wonder how many doors of the buildings in Sheffield, Tennessee should be closed tonight. Because they worship in vain. They do their own thing, their own way. They've ignored God's command, ignored God's specified pattern. They've left God out of it. And let me just say this with all kindness and yet candor. The day Eastside starts to worship in a way that's not according to the pattern, it'd be better for us to close those doors than to worship in vain and rob God of his glory. Years ago, March of Dimes started, and the The purpose of the March of Dimes was infantile paralysis. Holy. And the kids would go around and they would get their dimes and they were raising money and they were going to help stomp out polio. And you know they did. But after they stomped it out, did they quit the March of Dimes? Oh, no. March of Dimes still marching. They ask them more for dimes, but they're still marching. What they did was change their purpose. That's okay with an organization like March of Dimes. That's not okay for a local church. And the day the purpose of East Side changes would be the day we should close these doors and sell the building and forgive you. Because the Lord's church is not a dignified country club. It's not a place of entertainment. It's where we come for spiritual fellowship and to worship the God we love, the God we believe in, the God we serve. May God help us to be a light in this community. And may God help us to people who sacrifice to our God. And that people see we reverence Him, we love Him, and we honor Him. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, I want you to recognize God has left a pattern for you. You need to be one who believes in the gospel. You need to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ for your forgiveness of sins. And if you need to do so tonight, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.